Are you feeling stuck in your life? Or like the same challenges keep repeating? What if the way forward isn't pushing harder, but going deeper? Feel what's real. Heal what's underneath. Live from your truth. Now, here is your host of the Feel to Heal podcast, licensed marriage and family therapist and integrative guide, Sharon Nichols.
Thank you so much for being here today. We're continuing with the four agreements. Agreement number one, I'm Sharon Nichols, licensed marriage and family therapist, and I am so grateful that you are here listening to the Feel to Heal podcast on Inspired Choices Network. And we're going to be talking about being impeccable with your word. And we talked about the power of the word. And we talked about how words create meaning and how they become beliefs and they can wound and they can heal. And last week we ended with starting with some practices that we can do for ourselves with regards to our word. And we talked about watching for extreme language like always, never, everyone, no one, nothing, and everything. These words often come from a wound rather than from your full truth of who you are. And then the second one is create a space from painful thoughts. So instead of saying, I am a failure, say, I am having the thought that I am a failure. This can remind you that a thought is not automatically the truth. Your mind is not your friend. I have been saying that for the longest time, and it makes so much more sense to me each time that I say it. Because I know how cruel I can be with just my own words to myself. So continuing on with some of the practices that you can do to help yourself, support yourself. The third one is be aware of gossip. Now, this can be really uncomfortable because gossip is everywhere, because it happens in families, in friendships, at work, in spiritual communities, in professional circles. And here's the thing, many times gossip disguises itself as concern. You could say, I'm telling you this because I'm worried. I probably shouldn't say this. But did you hear what happened? And it even can be, I just need to vent. Now, of course, there are absolutely times when we need to process our experiences with a safe person. That is not the same as gossip. Because if you're trying to understand your feelings and truly seeking support or looking to make a healthy decision, then it can be appropriate to talk about how you're feeling. Gossip has a different energy. It often carries a judgment, and it can create a triangle between the two people and you. Sorry, a triangle. It invites someone else to join you in forming a negative opinion about a person who is not actually present. And you bond through criticism. And it can give you a temporary feeling of closeness, although it's not true intimacy. And here's the deeper issue. When we use other people as material for judgment, we train our minds to relate through judgment. I'm going to say that again, because when we use other people as material for judgment, we train our minds to relate through judgment. And then that same judgment, we turn inward, turn towards ourselves. The voice then can say, "Can you believe she did that?" Often becomes the voice that says, "I can't believe what I did." The way we speak about others becomes how we speak to ourselves. So here is a simple practice to do with regards to gossip. One day, try a gossip fast. Excuse me, not forever, just one day. Before you speak about someone who is not in the room, pause and ask, "Would I say this if they were standing here? Am I sharing this to help or to judge? Is this even mine to tell? Is this kind? Is this even necessary? Is this true?" You may be surprised by how often we speak about people without really knowing why. And again, this is not about judging ourselves. It's not about judging you. It's truly about waking up to your patterns. You might notice that gossip actually helps you feel connected. You might notice that it helps you release frustration, that it even helps you avoid your own feelings, or that it gives you a sense of power when you are feeling powerless. I used to be big on avoiding my own feelings, because if I could talk about somebody else, then I didn't have to think about me or take responsibility, or even, we'll get to that. That one's coming. Or even have to deal, even be present. As soon as I started talking about somebody else, everything that I was worrying about just could fall to the wayside. Because this is the thing, that awareness, your awareness is the most valuable thing. Because once you understand what gossip is doing for you, you can find a cleaner way or another way to meet what you're needing. So if you need connection, ask for connection. If you need support, ask for support. If you need to process your hurt or your feelings, process your hurt without turning another person into a villain. Process your hurt without turning another person into a villain. If you need to set a boundary, set a boundary. Your word becomes more impeccable when you are direct. The fourth practice is learning to repair when your words have caused harm. Because they will. No matter how conscious you are, you will say something you regret. Me, I do my best to be present 90% of the time. So there's still that 10% where I get to be human. Because you will react. You will overreact. You will be tired, defensive, speaking from an old wound. You'll get it wrong. The beautiful thing about practice, it's not perfection. It's something that you can get to continue to do, to work on, to be better at. So the practice is not perfection. It is not repair. This is really important. Here's the thing. Not all apologies are equal. Many apologies are actually defenses in disguise. You know what? I was thinking about when I was going to insert this, when I was going to talk about the difference between saying I am sorry and apologizing. And so I just want to give a little caveat because sometimes I still interchange them because I'm so used to it. Saying I'm sorry is offering empathy. And so you sometimes have to do both. And the second one is an apology is taking responsibility. So sometimes you do need to offer empathy when you've hurt someone's feelings, and then you need to apologize for doing it. So, and we conflate the two a lot of the time. And the way that I just, the quick mental way that I go about it is, you wouldn't say, I apologize that you lost your dog. You would absolutely say, I'm sorry you lost your dog, because that's offering empathy. So that's just, it's a mind trick. It's something that I do in terms of what's appropriate here, in terms of how to say it. And sometimes I will say, I am sorry for, and then I apologize for. So here are some examples of how an apology could actually be a defense in disguise. I'm sorry you feel that way. I'm sorry, but I was joking, because the but negates everything you said before. So then therefore you're not really sorry. I didn't mean it like that. That's sort of like a doubling down. And I already said I was sorry. That's you being mad that you got called out because you actually did something and you hurt someone's feelings. So the statements could actually be really good attempts at smoothing things over, except they don't really fully acknowledge the impact. So, according to Don Miguel Ruiz, an impeccable apology sounds different because it takes responsibility. It names the behavior. It does not rush the other person into forgiveness. It does not center around your discomfort. It's about acknowledging their feelings, their pain, their discomfort. It does not demand some reassurance. So what it could sound like, I want to take responsibility for what I said. It was hurtful, and I can understand why it landed that way. Or I was angry, and that does not excuse the words I used. I hear that my words hurt you, and I am going to do my best to not argue with you and your experience. I am sorry, and I'm going to take some time to understand why I reacted the way I did, so I do not keep repeating it. That kind of an apology is powerful because you say I'm sorry and you take responsibility. It does not erase the harm. It can begin to restore the trust. And so when we come back from break, because we're going to now go to a quick break, we're going to talk a little bit more about apologizing and apologizing to ourselves and what that could potentially look like. So I'll see you back in a couple of minutes. Thanks so much for listening to the Feel to Heal podcast with myself, Sharon Nichols. See you back in a couple.
At different times in life, we can feel stuck, like our thoughts won't shut off, like we're looping the same worries and what-ifs, overanalyzing everything, or replaying the same conflict in our mind. And sometimes it's not that you're thinking wrong. It's your nervous system trying to keep you safe. What feels like being too much is often just emotion that hasn't had room to be felt. On the Feel to Heal podcast, licensed marriage and family therapist and integrative guide Sharon Nichols blends evidence-based psychology with spiritual insight and practical tools to help you understand what you feel, shift old patterns, and reconnect with yourself. Feel what's real. Heal what's underneath. Live from your truth. Listen to the Feel to Heal podcast every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, 4 Mountain, 3 Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is the Feel to Heal podcast with licensed marriage and family therapist and integrative guide, Sharon Nichols. To join the conversation, connect with our live studio audience in the chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send your questions or comments to SharonNichols@feeltoheal.com. Feel what's real. Heal what's underneath. Live from your truth. Now back to the show.
Welcome back, and thank you so much for listening. This topic is so near and dear because we spend so much time apologizing and saying I'm sorry for things that were never in our control, that we had nothing to do with. It was the conditioning. It was how we were spoken to as children. I don't know if you remember, you know, 3 weeks ago, I asked the question, you know, What sentence were you told? What words were you told that you then took on for yourself that actually aren't true? So bringing us back to today and what I was just talking about before the break, in terms of we need to apologize to ourselves. It may sound a little strange, although I really believe that it matters, because we have spent, I have spent so many years speaking cruelly to myself. And it can be healing just in saying, I apologize and I am so sorry for the way that I have spoken to you. I apologize for calling you names. I am so sorry for believing the other people. In believing what other people said, that because they couldn't see you clearly. I'm sorry for making you carry shame and guilt that was never yours. And here's a really powerful statement. I am learning how to speak to you differently. I'm learning how to speak to the world differently, and most importantly, I'm learning how to speak to myself differently. And it's probably going to feel a little awkward, and it may feel a little bit tender, although it can be really, really deeply healing. Because here's the thing, many of us are waiting for someone else to speak kindly to the parts of us that we have been rejecting. Many of us have been looking outside of ourselves. It's got to come from within. And sometimes the voice we most need to hear is our own. We need to start validating ourselves first. I assume and also know that all we really want is to be loved. And we, you know, a lot of us have the tape, we're not lovable. Although if you start loving yourself, that makes you lovable. Love is attracted to love. So start loving yourself and just see what you actually might attract. Which now brings us into the fifth practice, which is to identify old labels. See, it's all connected. This used to be one of my favorite practices. I guess it still is. I'm being a little sarcastic because it can be so revealing. I want you to write down all of the labels that you have carried. Not your values, the labels. Not your true identity, the labels. The shorthand that other people used for you. Here are some examples. The responsible one, the difficult one, the sensitive one, the selfish one, the smart one, the pretty one, the lazy one, the dramatic one, the strong one, the caretaker, the problem, the peacekeeper, the black sheep, the golden child, the one who can handle anything, the one who can't handle anything. I'm assuming one of those resonated for you. So now ask yourself, who gave you that label? How old were you when you first heard it? Prefrontal cortex. What did that label make possible for other people to know about you, to assume about you, to anchor in their truth of what they think? What did it cost you? Did it allow you to be fully human? Or did it just trap you in that role? Here's the thing. I say that a lot, actually, because even positive labels can become prisons of our own making, by the way. The strong one may not feel allowed to ask for help. The smart one may be so afraid and terrified of making any mistakes. The responsible one could feel really guilty about taking a rest. The easy one, may not actually then know how to express anger. And the healer may forget that you also need healing. So being impeccable with your word means that we get to stop using labels as cages, as prisons of our own making. We can stop reducing ourselves to others. And excuse me, we can stop reducing ourselves and others to just one story. We have this prison, we rattle the cage, we rattle the bars. Except if you just turn around and look behind you, there are no bars. It's just what you keep seeing, what you keep looking at. We can stop saying, that's just how I am. That's just how she is. That's just how he is. Instead, we now leave room for growth. We leave room for complexity. And the most important thing, we leave room for change. So a more impeccable way to speak might be, I've learned to be responsible very young. Although now I'm allowed to receive some support. I've been called sensitive, and I am learning that my sensitivity is also wisdom. I've made mistakes with money, but I'm not bad with money. I'm learning new skills. I've struggled in relationships, but I am not unlovable. I have felt anxious, but anxiety is something I experience. It is not who I am. It's not false positivity. It's accuracy. And accuracy is a form of love. The sixth practice is to replace self-criticism with self-responsibility. And some people are afraid that if they stop criticizing themselves, they will stop growing. They think that harshness is what keeps them accountable. They think shame is what motivates change, except shame does not create true healing. Shame creates hiding and defensiveness. Shame creates the belief that something is wrong with who you are. Self-responsibility is different. Self-responsibility says, I made a mistake and I can repair it. I hurt someone and I can take accountability. I've avoided something and I can begin again. I've acted from fear and I can understand why. And I need to grow. I do not need to have to hate myself in order to grow. That's the difference between shame and responsibility. Shame says I am bad. Responsibility says something needs my attention. Shame says I am broken. Responsibility says I am learning. And so, getting ready to end. Overall, the first agreement, the message is about awareness, integrity, and healing. It asks you to notice inherited language and stop using shame as a motivation. Replace self-criticism with self-responsibility and choose one new truthful sentence to practice. The closing reminder is that words are seeds, and every day we are planting in ourselves and in others. Be kind to yourself. Be kind with your words. Just be nice. So being impeccable with your word, being impeccable with your word is the correct use of your energy. It means to use your energy in the direction of love and truth for yourself.
Thank you for listening to the Feel to Heal podcast. Join Sharon Nichols again next Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, 4 Mountain, 3 Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Until then, feel what's real, heal what's underneath, live from your truth. Be gentle with yourself this week, and we'll see you next time.